I'm kind of clumsy, so I'm going to stay down here on the floor rather than trying those steps. And as you know, my clumsiness led to me bumping my head, which led to them scanning my body, which led to them finding out that I had a tumor on a kidney, and it's already out of there. Yes. Thank you for your prayers. I do appreciate them. I'm a bit sore, but very thankful to have that behind me. And just a matter of getting over it, I asked a good friend to come and preach today just so I wouldn't have to stand up there and do it. And Jeff Carpenter has agreed to do that, and I'll introduce you to him. Jeff is, I bet we've known each other since the 70s, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, probably.
Hanging around camp and youth group. And
I think so. I think I got this on.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Am I on? Yeah, I don't hear it through the... There it is.
Yeah, he got you. He found you. But that goes way back.
It does. Long time.
I mean, we were little kids. We had youth group. We had, what they call them, youth rallies.
Yeah, we were just talking about that on the way down, going to Carpenter's Corners and...
Yeah, remember when we used to go to the skating rink and stuff up there?
In Greenville, right? Down towards Greenville?
There was one in Meadville, too, I remember going to.
I don't think I ever went to the one in Meadville. I don't remember that one being in Meadville.
But we go way back.
I'm not that old.
All I got to say, it's good to have friends.
Amen.
Jeff is one of them. You met one of them last week, Brad, and everybody tells me he done an okay job. And I know Jeff will. Jeff and I have worked together a lot over the last recent years because Jim Gibson, when his time as minister in Meadville was there, Jeff was an elder there, and we did some discipleship stuff together, and it was a really good experience.
Amen.
I'm gonna brag on Jeff just a little bit. He doesn't want me to talk about this, so I'm going to do it anyhow.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, you don't know what's up. Jeff has a new heart. He's been made over from the inside out. And I mean literally. I can remember him down at camp. Maybe you didn't do a lot of camp, but I remember him carrying a heart in a suitcase. And you could hear it going click, 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 because his had quit. And they hooked him up to that. Boy, I'll tell you, that thing, that had to drive you nuts. Not that you want to remember
those. I was just thankful that I was alive, actually.
Yeah, well, we both have a lot to thank the Lord for, and I thank the Lord for Jeff and for his willingness to come preach. And I'm just going to turn it over to you. It's all yours, buddy.
John mentioned that he had an accident. And how many of you believe in accidents or believe that God's might be involved more than what maybe we are willing to give God credit for? I believe God's involved more than what we're willing to give God credit for. Yep. And because if it wasn't, I'm getting an echo, so turn me down just a little bit because I like to talk louder than what I am. So I believe that God was involved in that so that they could find out what was going on with John, and he didn't even realize he had a problem. And if you don't believe in miracles, do you believe in miracles? How many of you believe in miracles? Hopefully everybody raises your hand that you believe in miracles. How many believe that there was a God that created us for more than just going through difficulties here on this earth, right? Believe that? I believe that. And I believe that, and today you will be challenged. I can promise you that. And the plan is for me to come back in a month and preach again, and we'll see if I'm able to do that after I preach this morning. Because I want to challenge you. I want you to take God seriously. And I want you to believe what the Word of God says without compromise. My father, I remember my dad very well, missed the man greatly. But he would hear people complaining, and he would listen to them complain. And he would ask them, well, what else do you want God to do for you? He sent his one and only son that he had to walk on the face of the earth. His son lived a perfect life, set an example for us of what we're supposed to do, right? And then he died on a cross to save us from hell, right? This whole book is about God reconciling man back to him. This is a book that has many rules and regulations in it, right? Yeah, yeah. But that's not really what it's about, rules and regulations, is it? It's about how much God loves you and how much God loves me. And we forget that, I think, in our daily lives. And I want to remind you of that. I'm grateful for each breath that I take. Not grateful enough, I don't think, some days, because I did have a heart transplant 12 years ago. My wife came out and found me dead laying on the table or on the couch. Probably been dead 12 to 15 minutes before the paramedics got there, which you would have brain damage, and some people would say, yep, you got brain damage. You know, so, but this God that I love is a God that's incredible. This God that I love, there are stories about how he's affected many people's lives, men's and women's in Scripture, right? You ever realize that in Matthew chapter 28, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you all to the very ends of the ages. How many of you believe that scripture? How many of you live that scripture out every day? It says, go and make disciples, right? How many people are here right now? 75 to 100? Are we doing our job? This is part of the challenge. Are we doing what God has asked us to do? Romans 8, 28. Turn to that with me. Romans 8, 28. Everybody there? We're going to read it out loud together. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You believe that? Did you believe it last week when you were getting given a hard time at work, or were you having difficulty with the kids? Did you believe it then? Do we need to be reminded of that? I think we do. The cool thing is that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, does everybody know that? Repent and be baptized. Say it out loud. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, so that you will receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. Who's this Holy Spirit? Is it just some supernatural being that just kind of cool to sound? Or is this the possession of us by the Almighty God? And you know, he didn't come in you unwillingly. All of us had to ask him to come in us, right? It's a choice that we made, right? We had a story that the church is going through, right? That with this book that you're doing, and in Sunday school class, it was Joseph, right? Joseph ended up being a great man, wasn't it? And he had it easy his whole life, right? Never had a reason to not believe God or to be disappointed, or not like us anyway, right? I mean, we got all kinds of reasons to be disappointed, discouraged, downtrodden. He didn't even have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, did he? God did what? Walked with him. In the Old Testament, you see God walking alongside of people. You see God walking with people. At the beginning of it, you even see God walking with who? Adam and Eve. Two people that got to walk with God, and what did they let Satan do? Deceive them. Because he told them partial truths, didn't he? Oh, God's holding something back from you. That's why he didn't want you to eat from the tree. Because you'll be like him, right? No, when they ate the tree, what happened? They died. Didn't they? They separated themselves from who? God. So when they ate of the tree, that was called sin, right? Sin separates us from who? How much sin can you have in your life and be okay? Boy, thank God for grace, right? But, you know, the thing about it is, our neighbors, our wives, our kids, they don't know our heart, do they? God knows our heart. And he's the one that sees our heart, right? And grace covers us when we've what? Committed our lives to who? Him or to Satan? How many masters can we be obedient to? One. So if we can only be obedient to one master, who is it that came and walked on the face of the earth and set us the example of what we should live like? Jesus Christ. Who showed us how we're to love the Father? Jesus Christ. Pretty interesting, isn't it? You know, there's four books in this Bible that are written. Anybody know the four books that talk about Jesus' life? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to know how you should live your life and how you should love people, read those four books. Because they'll tell you how you're supposed to love people. Right? We're to love the people that love us, right? That's pretty easy, isn't it? We're to love our next door neighbors, right? That's not too bad, is it? Unless you got somebody that's playing loud music through the night, that's drinking and being obnoxious, then it's okay not to love them, right? How many sinners do you fellowship with every day? How many sinners do I fellowship with every day? Lots of them, right? Am I influencing them for Jesus Christ? Or am I influencing them for Satan? Because we have two choices. We either influence people for Jesus Christ, or we influence people for who? Satan. Are we doing a good job of either one of those? In the story of Joseph, his brothers loved him to death. Literally. Tried to get him to shut up. Thank goodness there was one that said, you know, maybe we can let him kill him. Right? Boy, that would have screwed God's plans all up, wouldn't it? Joseph gets killed, you know. Huh. So God's actually bigger than what his brothers wanted to be, isn't he? God's actually bigger than what I think we really realize. You know, I think it's pretty cool that I have an opportunity to worship this God that created, separated, right, the firmament, the water from the land, right? Created every single thing that we get to look at. He created it. He might not have actually made that particular chair, the bench, but he created the things that are here on our earth to build that bench, right? How grateful are we? Or how ungrateful are we, maybe? Might be the better question. So if God did all of that stuff, right? And he creates the animals, he creates the plants, he creates the trees, right? And he created all of those, correct? We all agree with that, right? Did he create mankind? He picked up dirt, and what did he do? He breathed life into man, right? He put his breath in us. And what did we do when he picked up the dirt and he breathed life into it? Adam walked away. Where does God indwell? In our hearts, doesn't he? As the form of what? The Holy Spirit. So we have God himself indwelling within us. How many of you think there isn't anything that you can't accomplish that God wants you to accomplish? Maybe we're trying to accomplish the wrong stuff. I challenge you, I would hope, and I'm going to ask the question, I don't want anybody to raise their hand because I don't want anybody to feel bad, and I don't want anybody to feel really good about themselves. How many of you read the Bible every single day? And if you don't, we need to pray for you. Because if you do not have, when Jesus himself, right, Think about this. When God himself, in the form of Jesus Christ, came on this earth and walked the face of the earth, did Jesus ever sin? And you might say, well, he was something special, right? No, he was fully man. Fully man. He didn't have any special thing. What was special about him, I think, it was that he knew the Father personally. And there was nothing he was willing to do to separate himself from his Father. And what do we call God? God the brother-in-law, son-in-law? No, God the Father, right? But that's with great respect that we do that, isn't it? Not that we get a free pass. Because the consequence of sin is what? Death. And if sin separates us from God, that's ultimate death, isn't it? Hell is where God's not. Heaven is where God is. We think things are bad here now. How many of you have ever read the book of Revelation? Things get scary. Things get real scary. And you know, the cool thing about the Bible is, and it was mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, and I was thinking about it as I was reading through stuff, that I think Joseph is the only person that it doesn't actually talk about Joseph having terrible sins in his life. I might be wrong, but Moses, he was a great individual, right? Yeah, he killed an Egyptian, right? Oh, there's Noah and his family. They were really good people, right? No. Noah did something that honored God, right? He listened to God and he built the ark, right? So he saved humanity, right? But what happened with Noah and his daughters? Because Noah got what? Drunk, right? So God's not afraid. David, he was a great guy, right? He was the king that led the children of Israel, right? Great king, right? But he had what in his life? Because he took his eyes off of who? And he put them on something and he shouldn't have been putting them on, right? So we have to do what? We have to allow, and this is where it's cool. Like I said, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell people back in Old Testament times, but he does now. So is there anything you can't accomplish? Tell me one thing that you don't think you can accomplish that would honor God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing. Paul wrote most of his letters from where? Prison. Now, we have difficult things that we're going through. I will agree with that. I mean, you know, I've had health issues. I'm sure everybody here has been a family member of somebody that's had health issues. And God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to, right? The way we want him to. Why do bad things happen to good people? The better question would be, why do good things happen to anyone? What are we doing with what God's given us? Are we honoring him with it? Or are we not? Why would he give us anything else if we're not? What are we supposed to do with the breath God gives us? The worship service this morning. Great orchestra, by the way. That's pretty cool. I've never actually attended a church, I don't think, that had an orchestra in it. That was cool. What a blessing. Does anybody know what worship means? Praising God. Is it a noun? Worship? Is it a noun? Is it an adjective? It's a verb, isn't it? Worship is a verb. So is this thing that happened right before I stood up here, is that the only type of worship there is? Your life, my life, ought to be what? Worship to who? How many of you ever received a blessing from God? Yeah, hopefully everybody. And if you haven't, you need to sit down and talk with somebody that can look at your life and show you where God's actually blessed you, because he's actually blessed you. We just don't recognize it a lot of times. Probably blessed us more than what we maybe even care to think about. But if we thought about it a little bit more, maybe we would honor him a little bit more, because we would realize that God actually does answer. Does everybody realize God answers every single prayer that you pray? Maybe not in the way that you want it to be answered, right? How many of you have had God, what you would say, God did not answer that prayer? I think God actually has answered those prayers, though, but in ways that maybe you didn't care for or that you didn't expect. I want us today to change our perception and our perspective of what we expect God to do for us. He has done so much for us already. Each breath that I take, I know is a gift from God. I've got somebody else's heart in me. Somebody else had to give their life up, I don't think it was willingly, so that I could have a heart, so that I could go on. I got to see all three of my kids married, which I probably wouldn't have got to see that if it wasn't for the heart transplant. I've got 11 grandkids that I get to see. My wife hears me whine very little about the situations that I'm in. I hope she hears me whine very little about the situations I'm in. Because I want to use those situations to honor my God. I want to be a man that when things get bad, which they're going to get bad, and it looks like they're going to get bad sooner than what later, that if there's a court that's held, that there's way more than enough to convict me of loving my God and killing me for it. I want to be the type of man that if they put my kids up there and they say, or my grandkids, and say, we're going to kill them if you don't deny this guy Jesus Christ. I want to be the type of man that says, I'll see you in heaven, kids. And I think we need to be willing to decide that we're going to do that now, whether it's this second or later on today or whenever. But I think you've got to make that decision. I've got to make that decision that I'm going to do that, because to be able to make that decision right at that time, I don't think I'm man enough to do that. But we've got to be determined enough that to understand that the God that wrote this book from Genesis to the book of Revelation, the whole purpose of it is for him to find a way to reconcile us back to him so that he can spend more time with us. And he wants that so bad that he gave his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for it. And his son was willing to come down and be mocked and ridiculed when he walked on the face of this earth, that he was willing to give his life for me, give his life for you, give his life for that neighbor that you do not like, that God has said you love him. You know, love is not this, the world says love is this cool feeling, right? Well, I just fell out of love, so I'm going to have an affair with my neighbor or this other woman at work or this other man at work, right? That's cool, right? No. It's called what? Sin. Love is a choice. God chose to love us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. And we have to choose the same thing to give our lives back to him. There's one time in Scripture, Mark 10:18, where Jesus is called a good man, right? Have any of us ever been called good before? And we've thought, yeah, I'm not too bad, right? I'm a pretty good person. And Jesus said, what? There is nobody good, right? That's not me. I'm not good. Only who's good? God's good. Jesus Christ himself said that. And then there's the guy that comes to Jesus and he said, I want to be your follower. And he's what? The poor ruler? Or the poor slave? Or is he the rich young ruler, right? I've always found this interesting. And Jesus said, well, you need to do this, 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 and this, and this. And the guy said, okay, I'll work harder at that, right? No, the guy said, oh, I've already done those things. And did Jesus argue with him? No. He just said, well, that's cool. Now give up and sell your possessions and come follow me. Oh, I can't do that. Because why? They were his possessions. What is it that you own? Or was it, is it of what you own owns you, maybe? I have lots of things that have owned me in the past, right? Which I'm terribly ashamed of. That do we hold those things tight enough? Or should we be holding them with an open hand and say, God, they're all yours really anyway? You know, I have seen God show up so many times in my life. I own a business, and I'm here talking to you this morning, and some would say preaching to you this morning or preaching at you this morning. And I'm an auto mechanic, right? And all of the auto mechanics you know are trustworthy, right? They would never lie to you about what's wrong with your car, right? And oh, by the way, I also own a used car lot. And used car salesmen, you can trust them, right? I don't know if any of you guys have ever been slandered before, but with those two things that I do, trust me, I've been slandered before. You've probably even read about me on Facebook. But when I stand before God on Judgment Day, I believe that I can be before God on Judgment Day and be okay. Because I have tried to honor him in what I have and what I own. Have I given all of that to him all the time, regularly? No, I failed at that. But that's what grace is about. And God knows my heart. God knows your heart. And the big question today is, where is your heart at? Who owns your heart? In Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is so cool because he comes into our life, if we let him, and he overtakes our thoughts, he overtakes our actions. If we let him, he can overtake everything in your life and make you what in God's eyes? Righteous. Can we get to heaven without God seeing us righteous in his eyes? Nope. I can't do enough to earn it. I can't do enough to buy it. How many of you have ever heard of it called the free gift of eternal life? Have you ever heard that? Any of you think it's really free? Or it costs you everything that you have? Because if we're not sold out to God with everything and every action, every word, at least making an effort at it, because there's grace to cover us when God knows our heart, right? God sees right down to the core of us that other people can't see. God's already seen that. God knows that. And as a matter of fact, he knew that from the day of creation about Jeff Carpenter. And I am just this little blip in the screen. You know, Joseph, there was a chart here that was given to me. See if I can find it real quick. And it was mentioned in the Sunday school class. 22 years of trouble Joseph went through, and he had 71 years of good times. And I'll be honest with you, in reading that scripture, in reading those words, I see no sin that was in Joseph's heart, mind. He was a man that was righteous in God's eyes, right? And God was walking with him, and he was able to accomplish that. Now, was there maybe some pride in Joseph's life when he was telling his brothers about, you're going to bow down before me? I don't know how he said that. You know, he was a kid, right? But his brothers sure didn't appreciate it, right? And they did everything they could to thwart God's plan, because that was God's plan, right? What's God's plan for Jeff Carpenter? What's God's plan for you guys? Does anybody know what God's plan is for you? How many of you have thought to yourself, if I just knew what God wanted me to do? How many of you ever thought that? I have thought that at different times in my life. All of us, raise your hand. Because if you're not, you're a liar and you just sinned, right? So with that being said, what was it I read in Matthew 28? Go out and do what? Preach, teach, and baptize, right? There's a command for us. How do I go about doing that? How do you go about doing that? How do you go about sharing Jesus Christ with other people? Because we're supposed to be what? John mentioned it this morning just here a minute ago. Disciple makers. So if we, and what's a disciple make? Well, first of all, what's a Christian? A Christian is somebody who accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, or her, right? So that meant that they are willing to be sold out for who? Jesus Christ, God, right? You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so God's empowered you, right? And it's just God, so there are things that will come up in your life that you won't be able to accomplish, right? Huh, that's Satan deceiving you, isn't it? Is there anything that God would ask you to do that he won't prepare you for, that he hasn't already prepared you for to do? Yes or no? Is there anything that would happen that God would not be there with you to help you through that? No, there's not. Can you accomplish anything God asks you to accomplish? Yes, you can. God asks us to do what? Go out and make disciples, right? So we need to be good disciple makers. And if you're not reading your Bible, how are you going to be a disciple? What are you going to be a disciple of? And Jesus was tempted. How many times in Scripture does it say Jesus was tempted? 3 times, right? And he had this argument with Satan, right? That's what happened, right? No. What did Jesus do with Satan? Quoted him what? The Word of God, didn't he? Quoted him Scripture. When Satan tempts you, do you have an argument with him? Do you listen to him for a little bit, or do you quote Scripture back to him? No, Satan, that's not really what God said about me. That's really not what... And you know, God forgives everything. There's only one thing God don't see through in heaven. Anybody know what that is? Because if God could see what Jeff Carpenter looks like, I don't think I'd get to heaven. And I don't think any of you would get to heaven either. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God cannot see through that. Because why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ washes away what? It doesn't rinse them off. It washes them away. They're gone. They're disappeared, right? And Satan's what? He's a great deceiver and saying, no, God ain't going to do that. God, you remember what you did? Get thee behind me, Satan. What did Jesus say to Peter? What did he say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. He said that to Peter. Boy, wouldn't you have loved to have been Peter? No. And how many of his apostles deserted him in the time of Christ's greatest need? Every single one of them. They left. Denied. Peter even denied him. How many times? 3 times. Peter had strike 3. You're out. How many times have we denied God or Christ in our lives? Thank God for grace. But you know, the bigger thing is how many of you think we should really stop sinning? I think we should. I'm sold out to that premise that Jeff Carpenter needs to stop sinning. But that's very difficult to do, isn't it? Almost impossible. But you know, I have this thing, God, called the Holy Spirit that indwells within me, that if I would love God more, how much less of what would I be doing? Sinning. So let's just try loving God more. Because that would be easier, right? It sure sounds like it's more accomplishable. And when we screw up, there's this thing called G. What is the big G? Grace. This is where Joseph started, right? And he ended up over in Egypt on his journey that he had. And he brought his family with him. Interesting thing in the study notes that I was given, that the Canaanite people were people that were okay with intermarrying with other people. Right, you would agree with that, probably, right? In Bible times, they did. They assimilated with others quite well, which would have been detrimental to the Israelite people, because they would have been tempted to marry them, right? Instead, God decides, I'm going to take them down to Egypt, because what was in Egypt? Egyptians, what to shepherds? Did they love shepherds or did they hate them? Egyptians hated shepherds. Hated them. So there was no way that there would be any intermarriage, any inner thing, any association in that type of thing with Israelite people to Egyptians. So that's pretty cool. I thought, I never thought of that. So God moves this, it wasn't a big nation back then, was it? It was just a few hundred people, 70 people, is that what they said, I think? So God moves them down there and gives them this piece of crap land, right, called Goshen. That sounds like a place you'd like to live, Goshen, right? But it was one of the most fertile places. And they did what in Goshen? The Israelite people did what in Goshen? They thrived. Because who? Because God was for them. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is for you. God is not against you. Don't ever let Satan deceive you in thinking that you're not really anybody. You're just nothing. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for each and every one of us. And our objective is to go out and make disciples. And how do you know if you're a good disciple maker or not? You got to be making disciples. Because we just call ourselves a Christian and you're not out sharing Jesus with somebody, I don't think you're really following Jesus. It's 12 o'clock. Time for me to take my medicine. You know, and I kind of look at scripture reading the same type of way I look at I need to take medicine every day. I have to take medicine twice a day, anti-rejection medicines for the heart that I have inside of me. If I don't take that medicine, I'm dead within 5 days. That's what they say. I'm not going to try that, but... You know, and I've thought, you know, God, it would be nice not to have to take that medicine. Why don't you just make my body to where it won't reject it? Now, some people would say, well, do you trust God enough? Well, there's this test that I have to do every so often. I do it, probably should do it more often than I do, but I do it 4 times a year, every 3 months. They take my sirolimus level test. And sirolimus is the level of medicine I have in my body that keeps my body from saying, you know what, that heart is foreign to us. I think we're going to kill it. Because that's what my body wants to do, is it wants to kill the heart. But my medicine lies to my body and says, everything's cool. We're all right. So there's levels that need to be there. And I've said, God, if you make those levels stay the same and they keep decreasing my medicine, but the levels stay the same, I'll stop taking my medicine. And it's not a challenge to God. It's just... I would do that if that would happen. But I'm also intelligent enough to realize that let's not take it and press fate, right? The first question I asked was about reading your Bible. Do you read your Bible every day? When we don't read our Bible, we are tempting fate, because Satan can lie to us and deceive us if we're not on our guard keeping him away from us. So the challenge this morning is read your Bible every day, okay? Because it's vital to your Christian survival. Because it's vital to your relationship. Because this book was written so that we could discover who this God is that loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to die on a cross for us. And if you don't read your Bible every day, shame on you. Read it every other day. Shame on you. Read it once a week. Shamer on you. Read your Bible every day. Because God wants to know you, and he invested the life of Jesus Christ so that he could get to know you better. He wants more for you than you could ever want for yourself. So if you don't know who this Jesus is that I've been talking about, the opportunity is now to get to know him better. If you've got sin in your life that you need to confess, the opportunity is now to confess that. Because unconfessed sin is what? Unforgiven sin. So we have to confess our sins in order for who to forgive us? God. So confess your sins regularly to yourself, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because, and this is a terrible, sad story, and I think maybe you guys have heard about this in the news this last week. My wife and I were at a church this last week with our daughter and her family and husband that the guy that played the electric piano ended up going home Sunday, and in the middle of the night, he's been accused of murdering his wife. Two little girls in the house, and he's been accused of shooting his wife. How many other people that we come in contact with have terrible things going on in their life? And because we don't associate with them, we don't know them enough to where God can send us in and rescue them. You know, the divorce rate is no different in church than what it is in the world. Isn't that sad? Why is that? Because we do not love the way God says for us to love, do we? We're doing what we want to do. We're doing what we want, and to hell with what God wants. Right? Well, I want to make sure that all of us understand that there will be a day that we will pay the consequence for that, if we don't end up following Jesus Christ. So let's all stand. And we're going to have a closing prayer. We're not going to sing a song today. We're just going to have a closing prayer. And I want you guys to think as I'm praying about what your life looks like. How has God brought somebody into your life and into my life that I disappointed him in the way that I reacted or the way that I acted with them? It's a new day, right? It's a new moment. God hasn't returned yet, but he's going to return. And we're to read the Bible so that we, and the book of Revelation was written so that we could worry about, man, maybe that day's tomorrow. Maybe I ought to go out and share that. Because if we don't love people enough and allow them to go to hell, we don't really love the way God wants us to love. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody, not just people that he liked. We don't need to just share Jesus with people that we like. We Penn and Teller, that the two guys that are what they do, magicians, say the word right. One of the two of them, which one is the one that talks? Penn? I think it's Penn that talks, right? Teller just doesn't say anything. He just goes along with the game, right? Penn says, you know, you Christians are pathetic when you think about it. He said, you guys say that if you don't share Jesus Christ with people and Jesus Christ doesn't change that person's life, that they're going to go to hell. And yet you got neighbors that are going to hell and you could care less about them. Somebody that doesn't even believe there's a God understands that. You know, we all disappoint one another in different ways, but we can disappoint God. God always comes back. That's what this book is written for, is for reconciliation back to God. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, right, what happened at the point of his death? Something was torn into. What was torn into? The veil. What did the veil separate? The veil separated us from who? God. He says no more. All you got to do is know my son. All you got to do is acknowledge who my son is. He's there for you. He's there for your neighbor. Share him with somebody this week, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your son dying on the cross for us. And Lord, just thank you for the stories that are in the Bible that are actually truth, Father. That's just not some feeble fairy tales, Lord. They're actually truth. And you were so honest with us that you put men in there and women in there that they really don't have any qualification to be who they are, just like me, just like all of us here today, Father. But through this thing called, and Jesus called him the comforter, he said, I have got to go, but I'm going to send somebody that's a comforter. That word there, it talks about what he is. He comforts us in our time of need. He is there with us through all of our struggles, through all of our hurts. Nothing is bigger than what God is. As a matter of fact, I think you're the God that picked up dirt and breathed life into it. Is there really anything you can't do? You know, the atheist said one time in a conversation with God that, you know, I could create life from dirt. And the atheist told God, give me some dirt. And God said, get your own dirt. You know, we've got the God that separated water from dirt. We've got the God that made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and flooded this earth and wiped out everybody except the few people that were in the boat. Get in the boat today, because the boat, the only thing that saves you, and that boat is Jesus Christ. There's only one way for salvation, Noah told the people. Change. Change. They refused. I want us today to realize that once we accept Jesus, that our life has to change. That if it doesn't change, we've really not accepted the God that I know. And this Holy Spirit that indwells us, to me, that's a game changer. That I am now empowered to do everything that he's asked me to do. And there are fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those fruits are what our life should have and look like to non-believers, because they're the fruit of the Spirit. So if God's Spirit is indwelling in us, we ought to look like what those fruits say. So there's some examples, I believe there's 9 of them, of what my life needs to look like, of what your life needs to look like. Father, help us and empower us as you're willing to do, Father, to live lives that are pleasing to you and go out and make disciples. Go out and make disciples this week. In God's name I do pray. Amen. Live lives that are pleasing to you and go out and make disciples. Go out and make disciples this week. In God's name I do pray. Amen. Live lives that are pleasing to you and go out and make disciples. Go out and make disciples this week. In God's name I do pray. Amen.